I would like to ask you to turn to Proverbs chapter 8. And this morning we'll have our sermon on the first Sunday morning for to focus on our children. And children, we listened to Jesus in chapter 8 of Proverbs because he is the one that's speaking. And we already looked at the first part of our verse. So let's go back to verse 17. And I'd like to read it just all the way to verse 21. So let's read Proverbs 8, verse 17 to 21. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And there is much to find in him. Listen to this. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches. That means riches that last. They don't fly away like our riches do in the earth. And righteousness. My fruit is better than gold. Yea, than fine gold. And my revenue, what you receive from me, better than choice silver. Boy, what is better than? Well, I lead in the way of righteousness, in the way, in the midst of the path of judgment. That is, let's say, I lead in the way of life, of eternal life, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. That's what's lasting. And I will fill their treasures. I mean, think about it. Treasures. And he will fill them. Oh, don't think treasures like we have on earth here. This is God's love and God's nearness. What a beautiful message Jesus brings us this morning. I love them that love me and those that seek me shall find me. Now, we like to just look at the last part mostly, but this has been a couple of weeks. Let's just kind of review that first part of our text. I love them that love me, he says. This is Jesus speaking. This I, and this is not Solomon. He can't give you any substance. He wrote this on behalf of Jesus. And so I am speaking on behalf of Jesus also. Think of that, children. I am speaking to you in the name of Jesus. And so think me away. And listen to what Jesus says. I love those that love me. When I say Jesus, what comes to your mind? If I would ask Luther that question when he was your age, you know what he would have said? He would have said, I am scared of him. I am afraid of Jesus. I think he is really not someone I want to like. Because he is stern and he is angry with me. Yeah, you can read it yourself in Luther's writing. I happened to hear that this week and read part of it in his commentary on Romans as he writes about that. He used to think, God, Jesus is angry. How wrong he was. When he finally learned to know Jesus, he knew he was gentle, caring, loving, full of mercy and full of compassion. Yeah, he was holy. For sure he was. But he was loving. And Jesus says here that he still loves those that hated him. Luther hated him. He said that. I hated God. That's how deeply it was in his heart. But Luther learned that Jesus loved him while he hated the Lord. Is that not what our text says? No, I'm making a step backwards today. Because we all start on that. We're all haters and enemies of God, and we only want God to serve me. Then he's okay. But don't let him tell me what he wants me to give up or do for him. Then we'll put him outside. And how many of us cannot remember living like that? But Jesus didn't give up. He didn't give up on me. He didn't give up on many others here. He kept on bringing the message of his love, of his goodness, of his holiness. And so he changed the heart. You know, in the time, in the Bible time, Jesus healed a man who was filled with devils. Remember, children, the story? And the people all asked him, please go away. Why? You're afraid of him. I mean, they heard what he did, not just to the pigs. That was not that was awful. That was a loss for them. But what he did to that man, that they couldn't bind with chains, remember? They bound him with chains and they stuck all kinds of stuff around him. He just broke it like a big Samson. And now Jesus came and just didn't say anything, or he didn't, he said something, but he didn't use chains, or just say, get out of him. They're afraid of Jesus. Ask him, go away. Now Jesus was, he went away, he did. But he sent a preacher, that healed man, you go tell him whom I really am. They don't have to be afraid of me. See? Jesus cares and he seeks those who let him down very badly. I love Jesus because he is such a lover of sinners. Peter just so hurt him. Stabbed him in his back on his weakest moment or his most painful moment, as it were. Jesus turned around and he loved Peter, didn't he? That's Jesus. Now you can be angry like your father and mother can be, children. Your father and mother can be angry at you and they give you a good spanking or stick you in your bedroom for a while and let you have a little feeling of how wrong you've been. But do you doubt they love you? They still love you. And so it is with Jesus. He can be angry. And if we don't behave and listen to him, yeah, he will indeed deal with us. And if that finally at the end of our life we haven't listened to him still, you'll be locked away forever. But that's your own fault. Yeah. Jesus, what an awesome, glorious Lord he is. You know what makes him really angry, children? When grown-ups don't tell you who Jesus really is. That makes him really angry. One time the disciples tried to shoo away those parents with the children. As if, no, don't bother Jesus with that. What a bad thing they did. And then we read that Jesus got really angry with his disciples. He says, don't hinder these children to come to me. You know, that's what makes Jesus angry, children. When your parents, by the way they live, hinder you from thinking good about Jesus. I love them that love me. What a beautiful thing if you may love God. I'm not going through that again because we've looked at it. If you want to listen to that, then you listen to that other sermon. What it means to love God. But when you love God, there's one thing that you need to always remember, Jill. He loved you first. There is no love in God, of God in my heart. If I am born outside of this paradise condition and we're born with a sinful heart, there's no love of God in my heart. That never is there unless it comes from above in my heart. And what a beautiful thing if in your young life already you may love the Lord. That's grace. Great grace. Now this evening, or this morning, we are looking at this text about seeking. Let's look at the last part of our text. It says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Now let's first start before that verse. Do you know who is seeking you? There are two that are seeking you. I'm going to be simple today. Just two. Jesus, the Almighty God, is seeking you. He is seeking me. Yeah, he is seeking you. He is seeking you. He began to seek you long before you began to think about seeking him. We sang it today. He placed you in his providence, in his care. You were born in a Christian family, weren't you? You're born in a Christian church. And there was no chance. That just didn't happen to be that way. That is God acting in your life. And what is that? God seeking you. That's Jesus seeking you already. He sought you by bringing you into this church family. In your Christian home. He seeks you as your parents are teaching you. I assume your parents are reading the Bible stories to you. They are praying with you. Right? They're talking to you about God. And as they talk to you, that's Jesus seeking you. As they read to you, that's Jesus seeking you. I'm sure that sometimes you have a little pinch in your conscience. Oh, I shouldn't be doing that. I ought not to talk like this to my classmate. Or I ought not to be disobeying my parents here and just being kind of secretly doing something I'm not supposed to do. And your conscience pinches you. Guess who's pinching your conscience? Jesus does. Because he doesn't want you to hurt yourself. He doesn't want you to offend God. He doesn't want you to go off the wrong path. He gives you a little pinch in your conscience. Now don't disobey those pinches of the Spirit of Jesus in your conscience. But he's seeking you. He seeks you because he cares that you follow him to the eternal glory. That was just yesterday. I was listening to a topic on Dr. Thomas Chalmers. Probably don't know anybody. Probably never heard of him. And I read about him, but I wanted to hear more about him. That man was an absolute brilliant fellow. He learned, who knows, 6-7 languages at the same time. Because he wanted to read all the different books in different languages. He was a mathematician. And he became even a minister for a while at that stage. He was an unconverted minister. Anyway, finally, as the Lord stops him, he says, there's two things I never realized in all my understanding of my mathematical genius. I never understood how short time is and how long eternity is. God wants you to think about eternity. Ah, I'm young. So what? You are one step away from eternity. Yeah, but I have so many things to do yet. So what? God decides about your life. and how long. But you are to prepare yourself. And that's why Jesus says to you this morning, those that seek me shall find me. Now there's another one who's trying to seek you. That's Satan. Satan is seeking you. Now he doesn't seek you because he loves you. He's seeking you because he wants to ruin you and drag you with him in his ruin. He doesn't love you at all. And yet, he's seeking you to allure you. I just want you to think about that. Real love is not wanting your ruin. Real love is to sacrifice for you in order to make you have a better life. Satan ever did that? Satan sacrifice anything to give you a better life? Look what Jesus did. Left his father's house, came to this cursed earth, lived the curse in order to bring you life. So what a beautiful teaching. Seek ye me and you shall find me. Now before we look at our text a little closer, let's sing together of 251 verse 1. It is a good thing to sing thy praise. And what follows in 251 verse 1. I love them that love me, and they that seek me early shall find me. Let's look at Jesus' promise that those that seek him shall find him. Now don't think that Jesus is hard to find. That's why you have to seek him. That's not what that means. He's not hard to find. He doesn't hide himself. He's eager to be found. He's eager to discover himself. He's not like that man that was sitting in that bed, as we read from Luke 11. Reluctant. He didn't want to come out of the hiding of his nice warm bed. That's not what Jesus is like. So when we pray to him, don't think I have to convince this reluctant God, as it were. Like that man in that house, I have to convince him. No. God is not like that. That's why Jesus told that parable. Don't think when you pray that I'm like that. He loves to be found and he's eager to let you find him. But he does expect you to seek him. Seek him diligently. And why? That you by your seeking show that he's worth finding. Obviously. Right? He wants to see that you mean it. He wants to see that, you know, this boy, this girl really earnestly seeks me. Now, you read in our text the word early. And the word early doesn't really mean early in the terms of early in the day. It actually has in the Hebrew the meaning of diligently or earnestly. Those that seek me earnestly, they'll find me. Now, if you have your Bibles open, your page back to chapter 1, you find another early, and you notice there it can't mean early in the day. But it's the same word in the Hebrew in verse 28. Listen to this. There comes a time that we're going to pray. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me. There you got that word early again. Earnestly. Diligently. But they shall not find me anymore. There comes a time that you're going to pray earnestly and seek diligently. But that's too late. So today Jesus says, I'm still here to be able to be found. So I call you, I encourage you to seek me early, diligently. And how? Well, like that man that was standing at the closed door at midnight. Knock, knock, knock. Knock, knock, knock. What do you want? Oh, I have a need. My friend is in the house and I don't have anything to eat. Come back tomorrow. Knock, knock, knock. What? Can you help me? Come back tomorrow. Knock, knock, knock. What do you want? Can't you wait till tomorrow? No, I need it now. I need this bread now. Knock, knock, knock. Get it? He didn't give up. Seek me early. Any one of you who seek me diligently shall find me. No, we don't have to think of that man inside that house as God. But God wants you to seek him earnestly. It got to mean something to you to find him before God will make himself found. Get it? They that seek me diligently, that ask, that knock, that seek, they shall find me. No. What does that mean, find me? Jesus has not found children like you find your lost parent, if you happen to lose them, or a friend. You don't find Jesus like that. Jesus is not on earth. You can't find him anywhere in Carterton or Masterton. Right? He's not here in the way that we are as people. So what does it mean then? When I find him, when you find Jesus, you don't see him with your eyes. When you find Jesus, you don't touch him with your hands. It's not like we find our mom and dad again. No, what then? Let me try to say it this way. When you find Jesus, you will experience something what a blind man feels when he stands in the sun. He doesn't see the sun, but he feels the sun. Or when a blind man touches water, doesn't see water, but he feels the wetness. Yeah, get it? So it is with us when we find Jesus. We don't see him. We don't touch him. But we sense him. Yeah, when a blind person gets an embrace of someone, he doesn't see him either. But he feels the love. He feels that he's cared for. He feels he's near someone. That's how it is when you find Jesus. You find him a friend that's almighty. You find him a friend who is loving. You find him a friend who is good. your sense of care and an understanding in him. You'll find him listening to you. You'll find him speaking through his word and spirit to you. You'll find him giving and forgiving by giving you that sense in your heart that he is actually doing this. Cannot put it into words. That's the blind man can either. But the blind man, he knows when he is embraced. He knows when he feels the sunlight. He knows when he feels the cold. So it is when we find Jesus. And not only do you find him, you feel the strength. You feel him, as it were, helping you to live. You experience him helping him you to trust. Yeah? You experience the ability for him to think right. And he it's like he pours in your heart a love. So amazing. That's so beautiful. That's so uplifting. It changes you also to be a lover of him, God, and others. Yeah, that's when you find Jesus. You find peace in your conscience. And all those sins have been bothering you. They disappear like snow before the sun. Or like John Bunyan, you know that picture, he had a big old burden on his back. When you find Jesus, and that burden is gone and you can sing about the joy of being forgiven, knowing that he has taken over your sin. He'll make you feel, he'll make you sense, he'll make you strong, even when you face difficulties and even death. Yeah, he says, they that seek me, they'll find riches and honor. They find something better than the earth can give you. I'm not talking about things, children. I'm not talking about having lots of things in this life, because you can have everything in this life and feel empty and cold and fearful and insecure. I know people who are so rich, who still are so unhappy. They don't have peace. And I know people who are so poor, you wouldn't even let your dog live in their house. Some of those people I've seen in Romania and in China, in such poverty. And yet, the glow on their face of the joy they have in Jesus. See? There's something in this so beautiful that he says, I will make you inherit and lead you in the way of righteousness. You see, what that means is I will lead you in a way where everything will become right. Right between you and God. Right between you and others. Right within you. That's never perfect here. Of course not. We'll stumble along in this life. But one day, he says, I will cause you to inherit place where only dwells righteousness. That's perfect. I look forward to that. Honestly. Let's sing together again. 431 verse 4. This morning we like to have two singings just to help our children to stay on task. And then I get the comment later on from many adults that helps them too. So let's sing 431 verse 4, and let's please sing it with our heart, believing what God says there, right? Open, saith the Lord. And then we'll sing verses 5 and 6 at the close of the service. So, 431 verse 4.
Thank you.
I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Jesus is found when you seek him. So where then do I seek him? He's not in Carleton, you said. Where do I seek him then? And how do I seek him? Just real simple. Three ways. You'll seek him and you will find him in your Bible. That's the word of God. That's the word where Jesus speaks. You find him in his book. But how can I find him in his book? I don't get to know him if I don't see him. Guess what, children? You don't get to know someone by seeing him. I want you to think with me for a moment. You don't get to know someone by seeing him. How then? By listening to his words. By listening to what he says about himself to you. Right? That's how I get to know someone. I can live next to someone. I can look at you and I don't know you. Because some of you keep your heart closed. I don't know you then. So even if you saw Jesus standing on a pulpit today, you wouldn't know him unless you listen to him and speak to him and listen to his answer and speak to him and listen to his answer and ask him and listen to his answer. And where is his answer? In the Bible. God only speaks to us through his word. And that's how you get to know him. You seek him. You need to seek him in the Bible. And as you spend this time sharing with him and listening and talking and sitting before his word and opening it and reading it and saying to him, Lord Jesus, I don't get this. What did thou mean with this? And you read the next verse and say, Lord, I still don't get this. What dost thou mean? See how he talked back to him. Ask him to say it again and help you to understand. And maybe, Lord, I still don't get this. Please send me someone like Philip. He went to the eunuch. He didn't get it either. And God sent him someone on the way. So you got him maybe in your home. You got a mom. You got a dad. You got a teacher. You got a pastor. Go ask them, what does this mean? And that's how you get the answer. Seek, he says, and you shall find. Ask, and you shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. May I ask you a question? Are you seeking him in the Bible? Is this book getting worn out because of your paging back and forth in it? C.S. Spurgeon said, if all the people in London would open their Bible every day, it would be good. But since they don't, and if they do it today, we'll have a dust storm in London. How will it be if all the children in this congregation daily read their own Bible? Now don't let mom read it at a table, or dad read it at night, or whatever. No, you kids are to seek him. And you shall find him. You must seek him in his house. This church is one of the houses of the Lord in New Zealand. Not the only house, but this is one of them. That's where he's placed you. That's where he's brought you. And Jesus promised that every time when we come together in his name, he will be here with us. And I know he is here. As the word is preached and the Spirit is at work among us, and tugging on your shoulders and pulling on your ear and saying, listen up to what God is saying to you. Right? He speaks through me and to the elders who preach or read the word. So I have a question. Are you coming to church to seek him? Now answer it honestly. Did you come here this morning seeking Jesus? He said, well, you heard this yesterday. Lord, I'm so glad tomorrow is Sunday again. And we can go to thy house where thou hast promised to be and to speak to us. Please, Lord, show me. Let me hear. Let me see in my mind what thou art. Speak to me. Now, he promised if you are seeking him, you will find him in his house. He calls you to come. That is the third way. You must seek him in prayer. Prayer is talking to Jesus. That is speaking to him about what's in your heart. In prayer, you are to open your heart to tell him everything and ask him. Yeah, I might ask him this morning, help me to believe this promise, Lord, so that I may feel the comfort and the peace in my heart. I might ask him, Lord, help me to obey this scripture and to really do this as thou art telling me this morning. Because I don't always feel like it. That's how we ought to speak to Jesus. Help me, Lord, to love thee. Help me to believe thou died for me on the cross of Calvary. Help me. Yeah, whatever it is. Help me to be cleansed from those sins and help me, Lord, fill me with thy spirit that I may be like Daniel or like Hannah. Now that I may be godly. That I may be like the little kitchen maid out there in Naaman's kitchen. So, are you seeking him? It's the last question I'm going to ask this morning. Are you honestly seeking him? Young people, young kids. Is it in the morning as you get up, finding that little space of time? And it doesn't have to be an hour if you're young. No, don't need that. But is there a moment you bow your knees before your bed as you get up and says, Lord, I just want to live this day. No, you may also say, Lord, I don't really want to live this day for thee. But I ought to, and I ask thee to change my heart this morning. And are you then taking up the Bible just for a few moments and to say, now, Lord, what is the answer this morning? What am I going to read about? And just don't open your Bible, but read it in order. Right? Read it from chapter to chapter, and if you're young, then start with the Gospels and read those through and through and through again. Is that so simple? That's where you meet Jesus. Or if you're older, go to the Proverbs or take the Psalm, but don't only read Psalms every time and only that. Yeah, read. And as you get older, expand your reading to the more hardy books of the Bible. Now, there is this question again. Are you seeking him? Who is seeking you? For I'm convinced that Jesus is seeking you. Totally convinced. But are you seeking him? Children, I already quoted from chapter 1. There comes a time when seeking Jesus will be too late. Isaiah 55, call upon me when I am near. That is a use-by date, you know? When you look at your milk bottle, use-by date. Spoiled at a certain date. There are some texts in the Bible that have a use-by date. Seek me while I may be found. There comes a time that you won't find Jesus anymore as the Savior. You'll see him and find him and meet him as the Lord, but no more as the Savior. That's serious. When that time comes, I don't know. But it comes. Therefore, seek him while you're young. In Ecclesiastes 12, remember now thy Creator in the days well of thy youth. Now, why do I have to seek the Lord in the days of my youth? Well, you go ask your grandparents how easy it is for them to learn something new. You go ask them how easy it is for them to memorize the text you just memorized this week. And they say, oh, I can't do it anymore. But I learned my text when I was young, so I remember those still, but I can't do it now anymore. Go outside today, kids. Go find a tree. And take one of those big old branches. And try to bend them. Go try it. Bend them. This doesn't work. You're going to break it before you bend it. But take one of those little thin ones. You can bend them. This way. That way. That's why Jesus said, seek me while you're young. Why are you still bendable? Oh, that doesn't mean that you don't need him. Of course you do. We need him to be bent into the right shape and the right direction. That's why we seek him. And by the way, the earlier that you find Jesus, the more beautiful your life will be. That is so true. And children of God, I hope that you're going to, in the afterwards for a moment, share something with the children or so. Or at home. Let's tell the children how joyful our life has become and how more meaningful and rich when we have found the Lord, and how much more beautiful a life lived with Jesus is than a life without it. Happy is the child who has the God of Jacob for his help. Pastor, all good, all nice. But I don't think Jesus is interested in me. I try to lay in my bed at night, Pastor, and I am trying to think of all the sins I have done. And I try to cry about it. I even try to rub my eyes sometimes to see if I can get some tears. And I don't. I'm not good enough for Jesus. Because I don't know and I don't cry about my sin. Yeah. So, I don't think he wants me to seek him because I'm really not at all a good person. Let me tell you something. No, not me. Let Jesus answer you. And he does it under an oath. You know what I mean? You know what that means, kids? Under an oath? Maybe mom and dad or your teachers will take you to the master in court sometime. It's really kind of an interesting. And then you see the lawyer for the judge, and you see the man standing in a little thing like this here, the one who's been naughty or sinful. And he has to lift up his hand. I speak the truth and all the truth and only the truth. He swears an oath. Something like that. God does that too. He, as it were, lifts up his hand and says, as I live. That's an oath. I don't have any pleasure in the death of the wicked. But that the wicked turn and live. You know what the greatest wickedness is? To have a heart full of sin and not weep about it. Not be bothered with it. That's the greatest wickedness. And he says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That means I don't have a pleasure in remaining separate from you, but that you turn and live. Will you turn this morning and tell him, Lord, I am so wicked and hard and cold that I don't even ever cry a tear about my sin. But Lord Jesus,
Thou said, you shall find me when I seek thee earnestly. Believe him. Believe him. And as you are there seeking Jesus and listening to his word and praying to him and coming to this church asking, Lord, answer me. Please answer me. Put it in the minds of thy servant there and answer through the word. You will find. Because he has promised. They that ask shall find. Shall receive. They that seek, they shall find. I wrote a poem out for you that I read somewhere on the back of your outline, and hopefully you can read yourself this morning. I don't have it here with me, so I can't read it with you. May God bless his dear word to our hearts this morning. Amen. Let us pray together. Beloved Lord Jesus Christ, thou art our mediator. Standing between God and us as the only Savior, the only door, the only way, all and fully the truth, and we cry unto thee, Lord Jesus Christ. Thou hears us. Thou knows us. We may not know thee. We may have not heard thee yet. We pray this morning, blessed Lord Jesus, if thou seest we are not earnestly seeking thee, then make us such an earnest seeker that we will not rest until we find thee. Bless us, O Lord Jesus, with that grace of seeking thee, and tear our hearts away from the idols and from the dreams we live in, and make us earnest about our soul and about our relationship with thee. And we thank thee. Thank thee, O God, that thou hast again reminded us that from thy sight the door is open, that thou art willing to receive us, that thou hast no pleasure in remaining separate from any of us, but that we turn unto thee again. O, turn us, Almighty, turn us, and we shall be turned this morning, and let thy Holy Spirit take our hearts and minds and draw us, lead us, in the way of righteousness. And truly, Lord, there are such here that seek thee, and may have been discouraged in not having found thee, not having seen or heard the answer. And we pray with them. Lord, allow them, enable them to be as that woman that came and to whom thou answered not a word, and then a discouraging word, and then an off-putting word. And yet, she sought thee earnestly and found thee at last. And so encourage them, O God, encourage them to continue to seek and to wait and to use the word and to come to church to hear thy answer from thy holy scriptures. And so bless us this morning, all of us, and thank thee for those of us who have become finders. What a treasure, O Lord, to find thee. What a treasure to be restored with thee in the relationship through thee, O Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing and what a joy, and what will it be to be filled out of thy treasures forever and ever and ever in the world to come. O, hear us, blessed and almighty. Pardon all our sin. And receive us in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.